Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I kind of feel like we need to have the Oscars. We need some sort of a red carpet deal to send out a big thank you. You know, give your Oscars Academy Award speech. I'd like to thank Letitia James. I'd like to thank Fannie Willis. I'd like to thank Nathan Wade. I'd like to send a big shout out to Alvin Bragg. And of course, who can forget Jack Smith? We want to send out a big thank you to Jack Smith. You know, you think about it, every single one of those characters that I just mentioned, they played a big role in this 2024 election. Donald Trump owes them a big thank you for his big electoral victory here in November 2024, because it was their lawfare, their absurd cases against him and all these kangaroo courts out there. Oh, how could I forget Judge Michon? Judge Michon, how do you say thank you in French again? Is it merci beaucoup or is this, yeah, s'il vous plaît, please, right? Yeah, okay, all right, whatever. You get the point. Anyway, Donald Trump took to Truth Social and to X, I think it was yesterday, after the Jack Smith case was officially dismissed. That was the one down in South Florida. I think that was the one where they raided Melania's underwear drawer for that case, right? Anyway, Trump saying this, these cases, like all of the other cases I have been forced to go through, are empty and lawless and should never have been brought. Over $100 million of taxpayer dollars has been wasted in the Democrat Party's fight against their political opponent, me. Nothing like this has ever happened in our country before. They've also used state prosecutors and district attorneys such as Fannie Willis and her lover, Nathan Wade, who had absolutely zero experience in cases such as this, but was paid millions. Enough for them to take numerous trips and cruises around the globe. But what do you guys, wouldn't it be nice to have, you know, some Fannie Willis, Nathan Wade style trips coming up here now that we're officially getting winter here in Montana? Anyway, yeah, great write-up here by President Trump on Truth Social. He goes, he gets to Alvin Bragg and Letitia James and the rest of them, and then he says this, it was a political hijacking and a low point in the history of our country that such a thing could have happened, and yet I persevered against all odds and won. Make America great again. We'll talk about that much more here throughout the morning. We got a big show lined up for you here today. John Jackson, the Joker from X, he'll be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Hopefully he'll be able to stick around for the 9 o'clock hour as well, taking your phone calls and more. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, yesterday I was talking about this Montana Headwaters Legacy Act, which sounds nice. It's not so nice. It's the radical environmentalists and liberal Senator John Tester trying to reward his radical environmentalists on his way out the door. I mentioned that legislation yesterday and some of the great remarks that Kerry White had shared from a couple of years ago. Anyway, Kerry White called in yesterday in the 9 o'clock hour, but we already had a couple of big guests on the show, A.G. Knutson and then Stacey Zinn, the former head of the DEA. So Kerry White's going to join us in about an hour. I think he'll be with us coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. First, right after this, Breitbart News did an interview with Senator-elect Sheehy, and we've got permission to share it with you.
Securing America.
General Tony Cotton, the commander of U.S. Strategic Command, recently participated in a forum for the Center for Strategic and International Studies concerning the role of nuclear weapons in today's security environment. General Cotton said that as much as things have changed since the Cold War, one thing remains the same.
Nuclear deterrence is actually the baseline strategy of national security for us, of which all other national security imperatives all wrapped around.
He added, however, that because the nuclear playing field has expanded well beyond Russia and the U.S.
I don't know that we have sanctuary in the continental United States anymore.
General Cotton says part of the challenge for the U.S. is to use its strength to
pull adversaries at risk so they understand that today is not the day.
Because the bottom line still remains.
You don't have to use a weapon for it to be a deterrent.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see partial sun and some more cloudiness in the area for today, with a few isolated snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Snow showers and a little rain mixed in possibly in the Billings vicinity. High temperature readings will range in the upper 30s for tonight. We can expect partly to mostly cloudy sky. Could see a few snow showers in Bozeman with lows near 20 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
So I've been out there trying to run the traps with some of our sources here in Montana. What are you hearing about the Keystone XL pipeline with President Trump heading back to the White House in January? His team is telling Politico that they want to get the Keystone pipeline up and running, and they want to get to work starting on day one. So what would it take to get the pipeline up and running? What is being discussed? That full story, go to MontanaTalks.com or download the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. You'll see it there.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, thanks to Breitbart News for letting us share audio of their interview. Matthew Boyle from Breitbart News with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. Here you go.
Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate you having me back on. And as you know, we have a mandate now. And I was pretty impressed to see everything we accomplished on November 5th from coast to coast. And now it's time for the real work to start. And I'm excited to get going here on January 3rd.
Yeah, so on that point, on the mandate point, we're seeing some Democrats go out there and try to argue, oh, well, Donald Trump's national popular vote victory and his win across all seven battleground states doesn't mean he has a mandate. I'm just shocked that they can argue that. I mean, it was a landslide electoral victory, and Donald Trump made inroads with basically every single demographic, right? Like, even ones he did, you know, Republicans haven't traditionally won, black voters, Hispanic voters, Asian voters, women. I mean, it's just unbelievable to me to see Democrats, like, I think I saw Debbie Wasserman Schultz out there arguing, oh, well, there is no mandate. That's just nonsense to me. I think that, you know, you guys obviously took a clear, convincing 53-seat majority in the U.S. Senate. Republicans held the House against all odds, right? Like, everybody wrote off the House Republicans, and they held the House. It's just unbelievable to me to see Democrats argue that.
Well, I disagree. It's unbelievable. I think it's totally believable because the D in Democrat now stands for deception. I mean, this entire campaign on all fronts of the Democrat Party was based on deception. I mean, Kamala Harris in one state was running ads saying, you know, she supports Israel. In the neighboring state, she's saying she supports Hamas. You know, you've got opponents like mine, John Tester, Bob Casey, you know, across the country who were 99, 100% supporters of the Biden-Harris agenda, yet running commercials as if they were Trump Republicans wanting to secure the border. You know, so the Democrats can't find a message that works, so they're just making it up as they go. And whether they have to pay a celebrity $5 million to endorse them, or whether they have to just run blatant lies on television, they don't care about the truth. And of course, why would that change now? It's been 2 weeks. Why would all of a sudden they be tethered to the truth after years and years of lies and deceit? For modern American politics, November 5th was a landslide. Yes, it wasn't the Reagan victory in 84 of, you know, 49 out of 50 states, but the way we've gerrymandered, the way our country, you know, politically is structured now, that just doesn't happen anymore. So by modern standards, we haven't had a Republican win the popular vote in 20 years. You know, the House, Senate, White House with a decisive electoral. Oh, and by the way, you know, where are the demands from the Democrats now to eliminate the Electoral College? Remember that? Of course, they stopped calling for that. They've stopped calling to end the filibuster as well. So, you know, they're going to say whatever they have to say to try to keep wind in their sails. But the truth is they are having an inward reflection moment, realizing that their message has failed. Their attempt to lie to Americans, even with a 3-to-1, 4-to-1 funding advantage and the entire media behind them, has failed. And they better come up with a new strategy. And guess what? They're going to have to do what we've done, which is talk about things that actually matter to Americans. You know, amazing. Think about that. Common sense. Common sense. People don't want high inflation. They don't want high gas prices. They don't want crime in the streets. And when they're busy talking about transgender issues and boys playing girls sports and how we have a moral obligation for that, most Americans are saying, you know what? I don't want a boy in my daughter's locker room. I don't want crime on my street outside my house. And I don't want a wide open border. Those are the issues we focus on from coast to coast. And that's why we won the landslide.
Yeah, so it really seems like there's a historic opportunity here for Republicans to embrace the MAGA agenda and the working class in this country. Do you sense among Republicans, because I'm sure you're talking to other senators and senators-elect, the other folks who won, do you sense that they understand how important this moment is? Because, I mean, second chances don't come very often in American politics. And the fact that we're going to have another shot at what happened in 2016, 2017, and frankly, a bigger one. It's just amazing to me. But the point is that do you sense that everybody gets it? Like that this is a historic moment here.
I absolutely do. And obviously, this is my first time running for anything, first time office holder, so I'm not going to pretend I have a ton of experience. But, you know, I've led on the battlefield, I've led in business, and I can read the room. And having been in D.C. for my very first week, about a week and a half ago for orientation, meeting my new colleagues out there, I can tell you from every wing of the Republican Party, you know, from Susan Collins in Maine, you know, to Mike Lee in Utah, it's pretty clear everybody is aligned that we have a mandate, and it's time to hit the gas and get moving. I think we're going to see a Senate. I can't speak for the House, although I think the House is going to be in the same spot, that is very eager to not just rubber stamp Trump's agenda, but really strap rocket boosters to it and make sure that we get as much done as fast as we can. Because as you know, we got about 2 years, and really in 2 years, we got about, you know, 200 days to get our legislation crafted, to get our appointees in place, and to lay the groundwork for the America First agenda. As you said, 2016 to 2020 was a great start, but I think, you know, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you know, some reduction in bureaucracy, some great things happened in that first term. But now we have a chance to build on that foundation and get a lot done very fast. But we have to work together. And, you know, my most fervent hope is on the Republican side is, you know, we don't get caught up on the few things we do disagree on. And we focused on the 95% of things that all Republicans do agree on. And we get to work really fast to get that done. And I think we will.
Yeah, so President Trump has obviously rolled out most of his cabinet picks now. Last night, he rolled out Scott Bessent for Treasury. We've had Scott on this program many times over the course of this year. Many of these folks, we've had very close relationships with, from Senator Rubio for Secretary of State to Mike Waltz for National Security Advisor to Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, for Homeland Security. I mean, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just incredible to me. Pam Bondi, she's been a regular on this show. She's now the Attorney General pick after we saw what happened with Congressman Gates. But the point is that we're seeing President Trump's cabinet really come together. I think there's a couple more picks he's got to make. But a really, really exciting crew of folks, Tulsi Gabbard and RFK for their Director of National Intelligence and for HHS. What are your thoughts on the cabinet so far? Do you intend to support these folks? Is Pete Hegseth, obviously, for the Pentagon.
Anyway, we'll get the response on that question coming up right after the Farm and Ranch Report here with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy and Breitbart News.
This is House Call for Health. Staying safe on Thanksgiving when it comes to cooking. The National Fire Protection Association, or NFPA, is an international nonprofit devoted to preventing fire-related injuries and deaths. They say Thanksgiving is the peak day for home cooking fires, with more than 3 times the daily average. Christmas Day and Christmas Eve are ranked numbers 2 and 3. Cooking also causes half of all reported home fires and nearly 2/3 of every 5 home fire injuries. It's also the leading cause of home fire deaths. Some of the association's cooking tips include staying in the kitchen when cooking on the stovetop. Stay in your house, especially when cooking a turkey, and check on it often. Keep children away from the stove and away from hot foods and liquids. Make sure electrical cords are not dangling off the counter and within easy reach of little ones. Keep matches and lighters out of reach, too, and never leave kids alone with a lit candle. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. We'll see partial sun and some more cloudiness in the area for today, with a few isolated snow showers possible in the Bozeman area. Snow showers and a little rain mixed in possibly in the Billings vicinity. High temperature readings will range in the upper 30s for tonight. We can expect a partly to mostly cloudy sky. Could see a few snow showers in Bozeman with lows near 20 degrees. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombley.
Tell you what, Donald Trump's going to be president again. We can just sit back and relax and enjoy the holidays. Are you kidding me? Man, we got to keep our eye on the ball, especially right now. This lame duck Senate, they're going to try to ram through these left-wing judges that will rule against agriculture. They'll rule against oil, gas, coal, timber, you name it. And there's a lot more we got to keep our eye on. Montana Talks, we're going to keep our eye on the ball. But even if we drop the ball, you can call in. Statewide, 9 to 10.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, according to AgriPulse this morning, President-elect Donald Trump announced Monday night that he'll be signing a series of executive orders on his first day in office to impose new duties of 25% on all imports from Canada and Mexico, and 10% added tariffs on goods from China. Now, the Trump transition team says that the new tariffs will remain in effect until the countries take steps to help prevent the shipment of fentanyl into the United States from within their borders, and in Mexico and Canada's case, to tighten border security and curtail crossing from undocumented migrants. Of course, the three countries are also the largest export markets for U.S. agriculture. Notably, Trump negotiated the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement during his first term in office, supporting tariff-free trade between the three North American markets. Meanwhile, the petition has received support from several Democratic senators, including the incoming ranking Democrat on the Senate Agriculture Committee, Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
Hello, I'm Clayton Lohr, Vice President of the Montana Grain Growers Association and this year's chair for our annual convention. I want to personally invite you to join us at our 69th annual convention and trade show. We'll fill the Pacific Steel and Recycling Arena December 3rd to the 5th. It will be three full days of motivation, education, and collaboration. Farmers from across the state will gather, share their insights, and talk farm policy. We look forward to seeing you at the Montana Grain Growers Annual Convention.
Don't settle for less. Buy the best. 400 Angus will sell on Tuesday, December 3rd, at the Stevenson Angus 64th Annual Production Sale. The sale includes 265 bulls and 135 bred females, offering both two-year-old and yearling bulls, as well as registered and commercial bred females. The sale is broadcast live via Live Ag, CTI, and Frontier Live. Find us on Facebook or visit our website at StevensonAngus.com.
Looking for unbeatable deals on used equipment? Look no further than C&B, your local John Deere dealer of choice. Right now on our clearance center, we've got a 2023 John Deere Hinge Draper 50 with flex knives equipped with standard skid shoes and adapter for X9 combines plus more, now clearance at just $89,000. Want to see more clearance equipment? Then head to C&B today or visit DeereEquipment.com/clearance to see the full details on this unit and more. But don't wait, this unit won't last long. Well, the Montana Farm Bureau celebrated the class of 2024 graduates of their ACE Leadership Program last week at its convention in Billings. It was the seventh year of empowering Farm Bureau members like Glasgow's Gwen Simonuk to become confident and effective leaders in their local communities for Montana agriculture and, of course, for their county farm bureaus.
So when I came to ACE, it was not long after I had actually changed jobs. So I was at a point where I wanted to figure out how to be more involved in my community and have an impact in the rural communities we have in Valley County. In thinking about the Farm Bureau vision, we talk about wanting to have a prosperous ag economy and thriving rural communities. And I think that's incredibly important. And serving on some state committees with Farm Bureau, I felt a responsibility to identify what it is that we need support in Valley County. And ACE really gave me the time to do that.
And you can learn more about the ACE program by visiting the Montana Farm Bureau's website. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here's more of that interview with Breitbart News and Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. Yeah, just before the break, he was asked about all of President Trump's cabinet nominees, and we got a chance to catch up with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy here in studio. Actually, a week ago. It was last Tuesday. Well, this interview with Breitbart News was a few days later. And anyway, so here's what he had to say, particularly about President Trump's cabinet nominees. And I think this is the first time I heard him specifically reference Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense.
I'm ecstatic about him. I think it's fantastic how he's choosing him. Now, listen, obviously, the Senate has an important role in advising consent. Senate's in the personnel business. So, you know, listen, these people have to go through the process. And as excited as I am about all of them, we still have to put them through the process. We have to do it quickly. We can't let this drag out for 2 to 3 to 4 years. You know, we can't let the Democrat resistance slow down filling in these positions. So, of course, we have to talk to these folks, make sure that, you know, that they're ready to go on the job. But at first blush, we have a fantastic stable of folks. I've come out vocally in support of many of them. I will continue to do so. I know a lot of them personally, Doug Burgum, North Dakota, our neighboring state, Tulsi Gabbard. Know her personally. She's just an amazingly strong, intelligent woman. I'm excited to see her in that chair. You know, Chris Wright, Energy Secretary, is a personal friend of mine. And that guy is just an energy genius. I mean, I could go on and on about all these folks. But it's important to have our full support. Listen, we have to do our job, too. You know, you can have an awesome person who should be, you know, who's been appointed for a job. And then after talking to him, say, you know what, listen, maybe do better in this position. But across the board, I'm incredibly excited about these folks. We got to get them in the seat as fast as we can so they can get to work. I mean, again, we have a mandate. America's spoken. And unfortunately, right now, you know, our constitutional republic has been warped in many ways to put far too much power in these executive agencies filled with unaccountable bureaucrats who just make up laws through, you know, regulatory reform. And the truth is we've got to get that under control. And the most urgent task we have, you know, from a bureaucracy perspective is get these people in place so they can get these agencies working again. You know, and I'm so tired of hearing from Democrats and the media that these people are loony, they're conspiracy theorists, they're unqualified. You know, coming from the people that put a, you know, transgender person who is advocating for transgender surgery on minors into Health and Human Services, you know, a cross-dressing kleptomaniac running our nuclear waste and energy portfolio in DOE. I mean, some of the people that they put in these positions were wholly unqualified as well, or not as well, they were wholly unqualified. So for them to now turn around and cast those stones at us is really hilarious when you've got a stable of nominees that are incredibly qualified. They're smart people, and they're going to disrupt the system because we need disrupted.
All right, there's one other clip that I want to play from that Breitbart News interview. He was asked, okay, you were out in Washington, D.C. with your fellow senators and senators-elect at orientation. What was the discussion points? What was the discussions particularly about securing our southern border? I'll get to that here in a couple of minutes, and then we've got Jonathan Savage,
from Fox News Radio talking about a potential ceasefire between Israel and the Palestinian-controlled Gaza Strip. So that'll be coming up here in just a few minutes as well. But I think I can get to Steve and Ballantyne before the next break. That Breitbart News threw at Tim Sheehy was, okay, when you're back there meeting with your fellow soon-to-be senators, what were the discussion points? What are the first pieces of legislation they want to roll out? You've got, at a minimum, 2 years to get things done, and then who knows what can happen after the next election cycle. So I'll play that response for you here in just a second. But first, Steve and Ballantyne, first up on the phone lines this morning. Steve, what's on your mind?
Morning, Aaron. Well, you know, they keep talking about all these positions that are going to be that Trump's, you know, nominating, putting in. One thing they're not even, don't hear nothing about, basically, is that freaking Christopher Wray. I mean, you know, we know that he's probably going to be fired on day one, but there's nothing out there where people are talking about who's going to be his replacement. But my, you know, we know that they no matter what guy they try to throw into these positions, they're gonna go after him on sex allegations and, you know,
Yeah,
right. They're gonna make something up. But how about if we put Marsha Blackburn or Green or something like that, and, you know, nominate something like another woman into that position?
Oh,
so, because, you know, they've been really go getters in the last few years.
Marsha Blackburn would be an interesting choice. I'd love to see one of the people we talked about last week when Tim Sheehy was in studio with us and John Jackson was here too. We talked about, hey, what about Kash Patel to head up the FBI? That would be incredible. Or if we even talked about him for the DOJ, but of course now we got Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi as President Trump's nominee. Yeah, great point, Steve. Thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. All right, here's what Senator-elect Sheehy told Breitbart News about, hey, what's their day one agenda, first pieces of legislation, et cetera. What was talked about during orientation?
Yeah, we didn't talk a whole lot about that orientation. Obviously, that was in the heat of cabinet nominees coming out. I think everyone's focus right now was really trying to get the cabinet in place. And, of course, you know, just obviously we had the leader election and everything else. So I think there's a lot of other stuff we had to get done first. But I think legislating-wise, I think, number one, Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. We need to do whatever we can to make sure that gets extended and, frankly, should be enshrined in, you know, permanency. Let's get that put to bed so the American industry and American taxpayers have certainty of what the future of the tax code would look like. You know, the border can be closed via executive order, and Trump will do that, and I look forward to him doing that. But we have to enshrine that in law. We have to get that backed up by legislation, because as we've seen with Biden, you know, if we only do it via executive order, it can be undone with a stroke of the pen, just like it was 3.5 years ago, 4 years ago. So the border, we need to legislate that border sealed up so we can ensure that this kind of disaster does not happen again. So I think those are going to be two of our top priorities.
All right, well, hold it right there. Got to take a quick break. We should have Jonathan Savage from Fox News Radio right after this, but sometimes these interviews can start late. Or even if it starts on time, we can get right back to your phone calls after that. So maybe able to sneak in another caller before Jonathan Savage, or if not, we can get to you right after our conversation wraps up. Back after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, I misspoke. I was rushing to the break there, and I said, hey, is there a possible ceasefire in the works between Israel and, you know, the government in control of the Gaza Strip right now? And actually, it's different. Is there a possible ceasefire in the works between Israel and Hezbollah in Lebanon, so to the north? That's the focus of the news potentially today. Jonathan Savage with Fox News Radio joins us now from London. Jonathan, great to have you back on the program. What's the latest?
Yeah, so many conflicts Israel has with so many different branches of Iran's proxy military, it is hard to keep them all straight sometimes. This is the conflict between Israel and the Hezbollah-based, Hezbollah militant group which is based in Lebanon. After the Hamas attack of October 7th last year, Hamas started firing rockets into northern Israel, evacuating 60,000 people from their homes. In the last couple of months, Israel has been bombarding Lebanon from the air. They've killed most of Hezbollah's leaders, and they had a ground invasion to push Hezbollah back from the border. More than 3,500 people have died. The Israeli cabinet today is voting on a proposal put forward by the United States that would see an initial 60-day truce. Israel would withdraw its soldiers from Lebanon. Hezbollah would pull its fighters and weapons back about 18 miles from Lebanon's border with Israel.
Yeah. To me, this is even could be even more consequential than a ceasefire, say, with the Gaza Strip in particular, because of the global footprint and the power of the Lebanese Hezbollah, as you mentioned, Iranian proxy network. I mean, so if this is Hezbollah basically saying, look, the Israelis have been hammering us. I mean, they had that legendary maneuver where they had all the pagers blow up on the Hezbollah operatives. So, yeah, what do you think is driving Hezbollah into wanting to have a ceasefire?
For most of the last year, Hezbollah's leader Hassan Nasrallah said that it would not end its campaign of launching rockets at Israel until the war in Gaza came to an end. Well, the war in Gaza has not come to an end, but Hassan Nasrallah is dead, as are many of his top lieutenants. So this change at the top of Hezbollah has probably led to a change in thinking, and they have been so bombarded by Israel that they probably want a pause right now. They want to reassess and regroup. The reports are that Hezbollah and Iran, their backers, have given indications to the international community that they would like a ceasefire to happen. Lebanon would always have wanted a ceasefire to happen. They have no control really over Hezbollah, which is like a state within a state. Lebanon's a country which has been in the grip of various crises over recent years, and the government there would like to see the Iranian campaign stop, at least for the sake of their citizens.
You talk about a change at the top here in the United States. We will soon be seeing a change at the top as well. I wonder to what extent there's a Trump effect here, where we're already starting to see global players, you know, kind of say, okay, Donald Trump's inbound. So they've been getting hammered by Israel, and that's with what I would describe as waffling leadership from the United States of America. But now with Donald J. Trump coming back, I wonder to what extent there's thought that there's a Trump effect at play here as well.
The Biden administration has really struggled for major wins on the international front, on the foreign policy front. They've been trying for many, many months to get a ceasefire and hostage release deal in Gaza. That hasn't come to fruition. Many other countries have been trying as well. This has been put forward by the current U.S. administration. They've been leading on this, and they would be thrilled if they can get this over the line, because it would be a foreign policy achievement. Donald Trump is coming in January. This 60-day truce would end just after he returns to office. So he could be returning to office to a very different scenario in the Middle East. We know Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli Prime Minister, had a very strong relationship in the past. They have been in contact both before and after the presidential election. So the sands certainly appear to be shifting.
Yes, very interesting update as always. Jonathan Savage, anything else that's important to share with our Montana Talks listeners this morning?
Wow, there's so much going on in the world these days. The other big conflict zone, of course, is in Ukraine, where we've seen over the last week some significant escalations with the US and the UK allowing the Ukrainians to fire long-range weapons deep into Russia. Russia escalating of their own by changing their nuclear doctrine and by firing an experimental new hypersonic missile of their own. So far today, we've heard that Russia has launched a record number of drones in a single attack, 188 drones launched by Russia at Ukraine, damaging critical infrastructure. So that war certainly is continuing, and that's another war which looks like it could face a whole different whole different scenario when President Trump returns to office.
That's right. And then closer to home here for us in Montana, of course, with Canada neighboring us to the north, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau apparently spent a couple hours on the phone with President Trump here. I think it was yesterday after there was talk of potential tariffs and with Mexico and Canada. Jonathan Savage, appreciate your reporting as always. Thanks for your time this morning.
My pleasure.
All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Now we can get into your phone calls. Plus, I still have more audio to share from the Breitbart News interview with Senator-elect Tim Sheehy. Let's go to, I think, is Nancy in Roundup still on the phone lines. Nancy, thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning, Montana Talks. I mean, a couple of talking points today. This isn't getting much coverage. It's the big pharma bill that Chuck Schumer keeps pushing. And we do not want this bill to pass because you remember Big Pharma sold out to Obamacare, and it's raised the cost of health care and also pharmaceutical products. So you want to keep your eye on this, self-educate. We do not want this bill to pass, but he sure is pressuring before he leaves office in January. And the second talking point, this is the 1974 Budget Reconciliation Act. President Trump is going to use this to slash that budget. And he doesn't need a 60 Senate vote to do this, to pass bills. This is one of the great miracles of this Budget Reconciliation Act. And so this is great news for us. He's even going to go after, let's use Harvard University. They've got a $50 billion endowment that they don't pay taxes on, and they still get federal funds. He's even going to go after Harvard University and do some slashing. So great news, because if we don't have a workable budget, we will lose the House in 2026. And this isn't good for 2028 for the Republican election either. So we have to have a working budget that was going to cut our deficit.
Yeah, they've got to rein this in, and they've got to deliver, yes. And they've got 2 years to prove themselves, to show that they're the fighters, that Trump has proven himself to be, and otherwise, hey, they could lose it all again in just 2 years from now. So that's that sense of urgency, or to use a military terminology, violence of action, just the speed of getting things done. Nancy, yeah, great points, great to hear from you. Let's see, 406-294-0970 is the number if you want to jump in on the conversation as well here. Let me see. I'll wait till the net. Well, let me see. Where did I leave off with the Senator-elect Tim Sheehy interview here? We were talking. Let me see if I left it in the same spot here. He was talking about, basically what the focus is for what will become the Republican-led Senate starting in January. He talked about, securing the border and how, yes, President Trump will start on day one with executive orders, but how we need to legislate a fix here as well so that another Democrat president down the road, God forbid, couldn't just come in and executive order the border right back open. Let me see if I can pick up where we left off. He also talked about delivering on a budget and more.
Again. So I think those are going to be two of our top priorities. Obviously, we have a farm bill that's been pushed right time and again, and obviously American agriculture needed to have certainty so we can continue to have food security. And then hopefully, I'm not sure what legislation would look like around, Elon and Vivek's work here to reduce the bureaucracy, but that's going to be exciting to watch, and I'm sure that'll be a top priority too for everyone.
Yeah, sure. And one of the other big things that we talked this summer. So we went out to Montana this summer and did a big video special with your colleague from Montana, Senator Daines, who was the chair of the NRSC. And one of the things he was talking about was using reconciliation to do the no taxes on tips thing. And obviously one would think that other elements of Trump's agenda, where he talked about no taxes on Social Security income, which is just kind of unbelievable that you would get hit twice on that. Right. Like you pay taxes your whole life. Right. Like and then, because of the money that comes out of your paycheck, if everybody goes looks at their paycheck, they Social Security withhold. So and then they would tax it again on the back end, right? It just doesn't make sense. So so that stuff and so on and so forth would all be part of that type of a thing, too.
All right. So what else would be included in reconciliation? What about no taxes on Social Security? That's something I'd like to see our legislature tackle once and for all here at the state level as well. The answer after this.
Waking up on the right side.
This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
A lot of our audience is going to have to sit at Thanksgiving dinner with their radical, woke, liberal, angry, maybe 4B relatives. We may need Dr. Hannity in the house. And if you want to call in, 800-941-SEAN. Number. I have some general principles as it relates to this. Is you won, they lost. But some people's heads are going to explode. And you know, you probably know going in who they are. And if they know you're a big Trump supporter, one of the things you can do, first thing I would do think of doing if I had such relatives that you know are going to be that triggered, is I'd probably walk in with a MAGA hat on.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
So the FBI, they call it house stealing. I've been telling you about this for over a year. It is a huge problem. If you own a home, if you own any real estate, it is crucial you protect your property and your equity from these criminals. Now, I've arranged for you, my listeners, to have 50% off Home Title Locks, triple lock protection. Now, you will immediately be protected. You get 50% off when you use the promo code Hannity. That's HomeTitleLock.com, promo code Hannity. That's HomeTitleLock.com.
Did you know your life insurance is an asset you can sell? I'm Jay Jackson, CEO of Abacus Life. For almost 20 years, Abacus has been purchasing life insurance policies from seniors just like you. And at AbacusPays.com, we've created a free policy value calculator so you can find out the worth of your policy in just seconds. There are no fees and no obligations. Get real value from your life insurance when you need it with Abacus. Learn more at AbacusPays.com.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The good news is that you must be physically present at one of the state's lottery ticket vendors to be able to place a bet on sports on your mobile phone in Montana. Most of the online gambling sites advertised during televised sporting events are illegal in our state. The bad news is that lottery vendors are everywhere. Bettors can do just about everything except actually placing wagers off-site. I frame this in terms of good and bad news because of what research is making abundantly clear. Ubiquitous, always available sports gambling is producing significant economic damage to households where it's allowed. It may be ordinary fun for many, but to those with addiction problems, it's toxic. Full access to sports gambling on mobile phones, together with the nonstop media promotion that funnels activity, produces bad economic outcomes you can see. States that allow it have higher bankruptcy rates, lower rates of savings, and higher incidences of domestic violence. Dangling the lure of gambling to those who can't resist is not good public policy. I'm Patrick Barber.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. And now during our Black Friday sale, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed. Plus free home delivery when you add a base. And Cyber Monday. To find a store near you, visit sleepnumber.com.
Only at Target.
Brought to you from the Hot Spring Spas and Hot Tub Company, Friends Recommend Studio.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great message here from Amy in Helena talking about a potential ceasefire. I really appreciate this message from Amy in Helena. Aaron, the Biden administration is threatening Israel with an arms embargo if they don't agree to the ceasefire. They are basically blackmailing Israel into this agreement. It is disgusting. Amy, thanks for that message. I love the fact that Netanyahu and Israel will not back down. They will not be intimidated. They will not be intimidated by the terrorists in Hezbollah or the terrorists in the Gaza Strip. And they won't be intimidated by the regime in Washington either right now, especially when they know a Donald J. Trump, an American friend of Israel and an American president of strength, will soon be back in office. So, no, thanks for that message, Amy. I appreciate that. Yeah, I haven't been closely following this latest talk of a ceasefire, but I do wonder how much of a Trump effect has taken place in so many different things where basically –
people know that Trump's coming back. So America's enemies are thinking, ooh, we better start to get our Adam Schiff together. Let's see. What about no tax on tips? What about no tax on Social Security? You've already been taxed on it, haven't you? Senator-elect Tim Sheehy had this to say about what might be included in some sort of a reconciliation package once Trump and the Republican Senate takes hold in January.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, those issues you just highlighted are another big reason why I think we saw the election mandate we got, which is, you know, that these are common sense, working class, everyday American concerns. And frankly, they're concerns for you know, across all races, creeds, socioeconomic spectrum is common sense. Why are we double taxing people? Why are we taxing Social Security income? You know, the tax on tips, great point. Overtime, too, that there's been discussion about reducing the tax burden on overtime. Why are we taxing people who are working harder? Why are we disincentivizing hard work? Why is our tax structure incentivized to punish hard work and reward, you know, the alternative? So I think that's going to absolutely be a top legislative priority, too. I mean, we have to remember, too, you mean the way our republic was designed, things were not designed to move fast.
All right. Let's hold it there. Full audio, go to Breitbart.com for that interview for more highlights. Let's see. We got about a couple of minutes left here. The White House taking steps to Trump-proof the Biden legacy. Special report had Peter Ducey on.
There are steps being taken right now to Trump-proof President Biden's legacy.
As Democrats ponder ways to Trump-proof President Biden's legacy.
It's also my last time to speak here as your president during this season.
The ACLU says right now, President Joe Biden can act to limit mass detention of immigrants by closing Immigration and Customs Enforcement detention facilities with egregious records of human rights violations and abuses and halt further detention expansion. But President Biden won't be doing that. A White House spokesperson tells Fox, the Biden-Harris administration continues to enforce our laws, remove individuals who do not have a legal basis to remain in the United States, and treat everyone with the dignity they deserve. Adding, we continue to call on Republicans in Congress to pass the bipartisan Senate bill, which would add thousands of frontline personnel for border security and enforcement operations.
One area where we kind of lost ourselves was the border.
Republicans are warning Democratic leaders if they don't comply with plans for mass deportations, they could lose federal funding.
There is not going to be a red carpet welcoming illegal immigrants into this country.
Elected Democrats could also be prosecuted for defying the incoming Trump administration's deportation orders.
Actually bringing to trial people who interfere with federal law.
President Biden.
All right. And I hope they are ready to do just that. Time for some accountability for the unaccountable class here in America. Had a great message from Tim and Savage yesterday. He said he was working on the church with the radio in the background. Biden's going to pardon a couple of turkeys. Hunter and who else? Tim and Savage wonders.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. We usually apply the Second Amendment to U.S. citizens, but what about people who aren't in the country legally? A federal judge in Ohio says no. It's the case of an illegal immigrant named Carlos Serrano Restrepo, who is charged with unlawfully possessing 170 firearms. Serrano Restrepo has been residing in the U.S. for over 15 years, but he is illegal. The ATF says he lied on his federal forms when buying the weapon, saying he was a U.S. citizen. And he still must have passed the federal background checks. Serrano Restrepo's lawyers argued the case violated his Second Amendment rights, but the judge disagreed, writing that disarming unlawful migrants who have not sworn allegiance to the U.S. comports with the nation's history and tradition of firearm regulations. That's a nod to the U.S. Supreme Court's Bruin decision. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
It's simple math. Tim Hortons 2-3-4 menu fills your mornings without emptying your pockets. $2 gets you a hot coffee or a classic bagel. $3, try a sausage and cheese English muffin or two classic donuts. And for $4, enjoy an egg and cheese croissant or an iced cap. Do the math. It all adds up to delicious deals. Only at Tim's. The Tim's 2-3-4 menu is available until 2 p.m. at select Columbus, Ohio restaurants. Terms apply.